When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Welcome to the family with
at the virtual at the virtual right hand, Ralph DeBay Basham, MD.
Alex Brent Bernard Rasmussen.
Andy Brent Bernard.
Co-host Catherine Brandt.
See? No, we got it. That was very smooth after only, what, 13 years in the business.
Well, here's the thing. Just us. Ralph moved.
Yes, that's
and
true.
And threw everything off.
here's the thing. Here's the thing. Alex didn't move.
Mm-hmm. I didn't move. I'm still here.
We have confounding variables.
I'm still here.
That is what we have.
We'll know how to figure that out before the show starts.
Discontinuous equation.
Oh, relax.
So we've just been, God, we talked about a lot of stuff on the morning show this morning about stuff that I didn't even know. Well, the one thing that came up, and I wanted to get you guys' take on this anyway, is that social media now is completely different than it used to be when I was on it 12, 13 years ago.
Yep.
Because I haven't been on it in 12 or 13
it's
years.
It's big business now.
But
boy,
most people don't even go on it anymore. Did everybody move to TikTok or something? Because I'm on Facebook, which was recommended for my age group, but it's nowhere near as big as it. Like back in the day when I joined Twitter, it used to be, what is it called now?
X
now. When I joined Twitter 13 years ago or 14, whenever that was, I had like 26,000 followers the first day I went on it. Now, after about a month, I have about 3,000 followers.
Well, you have to remember, Facebook was fairly new.
Yeah, that was.
And everybody was jumping on it. Mm-hmm. I really do think the election with Trump
got
a lot of people away from social media.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
COVID. Well, everybody was just ripping each other apart.
Yeah, it was just awful.
Yeah.
I quit during the whole...
I did, too.
I quit in 2020.
Yeah, during COVID is when I stopped going on
Facebook.
Yeah.
Oh, because of all the... Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. People are just... Hysteria seems to just spread like wildfire on Facebook. Mm-hmm. It does on all the other social media platforms, too. But Facebook was so big, and everybody was on it for so long. I do know a few people, not very many, but a few people that only... They never were on Facebook. They only went on Instagram when that became a thing.
Yeah, no, that's over too now, I
heard.
No,
lot of people
Instagram's still
are
very
on,
big.
Women seem to like Instagram a lot.
Yeah.
Do they?
Here's the thing about men, though. A lot of men that I know are on Instagram a lot, like my age group, on Instagram a lot, don't post, like, ever.
Mm.
Like, they
really?
Scroll
lurkers.
Through it a ton.
Oh, they're scrolling.
Yep. They scroll through it a ton and use it a lot, but they don't post on it.
What do you use it for?
Looking at videos.
Videos and memes and images and stuff. Melissa almost exclusively uses it for pet videos and for baby stuff.
Yeah.
So,
there
you go. And it'll curate itself as you use it. Whatever you click on.
Yeah, which is nice.
It'll, like, you know, you click on something with a cat in it, and Instagram, like, it knows, oh, you like cats. Here's some more cat stuff.
But even if you don't click on it, like Dan, for some reason, at one point got served lots and lots of videos of... very long manicures of women, like very
what?
elaborate, what? Long manicures.
Yeah, that's it.
And he asked me one day, he was like, because we'll get served the same stuff, because it's like if you live with somebody, you can get served the same ads. Mm-hmm. And he's like, have you been looking up, like, manicures or something like that? I'm like, no, why? And he's like, I have all of these. And he's like, it's like exclusively black women, too.
Really?
Like extremely long fake nail manicures. And they're just like, it's just their hands showing off their manicures with like no words. And he's like, it happens all the time. And I'm like, I don't know why you got in that grouping, but
it's a lot like the Jack Lynx commercial, messing with Sasquatch. You mess with Sasquatch, cops are coming to beat you up. So you get on the social, the Instagram, you mess with the algorithm, then you end up with something like that.
Well, you know what it really reminds me of is 20-ish, maybe even more than 20 years ago, we got a TiVo. Remember when TiVo came out?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yes.
Yep. TiVo. Badoop, badoop, badoop. And after a little while, for some reason, TiVo decided that we were a Latin American family.
Oh, I remember that.
Yep. And all of their suggestions were in Spanish. And we have, because we never watched anything in Spanish. We never clicked on anything in Spanish. We don't know Spanish. But somehow TiVo got it in its head that we spoke Spanish. And here's a bunch of Spanish language shows.
Yep.
So the algorithm has been a thing for a long time. Yes. And it's been crappy for a very long time.
Every once in a while, it just gets a weird.
That's my goal whenever I'm on social media or on YouTube or anything. I like to mess with the algorithm, see what shows up.
Just click on the most random stuff.
Was it on King of Queens, I think, where the guy shows up at the King of Queens house and he's all upset? He goes, what are you upset about? I don't want to tell you. No, come on. What's the problem? Well, TiVo thinks I'm gay. Mm. And that was like 25 years ago. I mean, that was a long, long time. King of Queens was on. That had to be at least 20 years
ago.
Yes,
that was the King of Queens.
You know, the other system that was, you know, it was just 25, 30 years ago, there was a catalog called International Mail. And the International Mail catalog catered to a gay community, clothing that they may like, bathing suits, whatnot. So if you got on the International Mail mailing list for their physical catalog, you ended up on. They share your address with every gay organization in the world, and you would get things from all in your mail, all sorts of gay stuff. So it was so it's very similar to that. You need to mess with the algorithm.
You know, I got to bring this up as well because it's a new experience after being off it for 12 years, 13 years, whatever it was. I have, and I think they do go through it all and, you know, measure it or whatever. I have not had one negative comment on Facebook since I've been on it for, 3 weeks now? Not one.
At 3 weeks. No, it's been like been 2 months, I think.
Definitely longer.
Oh, it's been 2 months already?
It was before we got back to Minnesota.
100%, yeah.
So,
was it really? Oh, that's right. You guys set it up the end of February, didn't you?
Yeah, almost 2 months.
2 months. Yeah, it's almost 2 months. But yeah, I not one negative comment. Now, they do show there that they filter things out and post only the most relevant things. But I just couldn't believe. I was kind of feeling sorry for myself. Like, I've only attracted 3,000 followers in 2 months. I just got praised to high heaven today. My God, you get a lot of people following you on Facebook. I guess that's a lot of people now.
Twitter is it's such an ephemeral thing. A follower isn't really worth anything. 10,000 followers aren't worth anything on Twitter because it's just like, you know, the whole platform is for throwing out little thoughts and then having them, you know, dissolve into the void and no one ever thinks about them again. Whereas Facebook is much more permanent. You know, you can go back and find these videos. There's search functions and stuff. So a Facebook follower is worth a lot more than a Twitter follower, I would argue.
That's what I hear. Yeah, that's what everybody said. That, like, because, you know, like years ago when I first hopped on, I got like 25,000 followers the first week. And now they're basically saying that 3,000 followers is actually bigger than 25,000 followers used to be.
Well, for Twitter, yeah.
For Facebook.
On Facebook, the followers thing was, we'll have to discuss that off the air.
Why?
Because the followers weren't necessarily all genuine.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Well, yeah, and Twitter, too. You can get a lot of bots following you.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, they did this, like, bot purge. And what was it, like, 60% of Twitter accounts just suddenly became inactive
Really?
Yeah, well, you have to remember how it works. There's these companies that pay to get into your timeline. You know, there's marketing geniuses and things that just they're trying to target you, so they pay to get on your page. So if they send bots in, and it looks like you've got enough people, and then their ads get clicked on, then people make more money. It's all done so that somebody can make a lot of money. That's basically the problem with social media, is it's become just a money printing app.
Right. That makes sense.
All of them have.
I also learned something else this morning. I want you guys to guess, unless you were listening to the show this morning. You can't guess because that'd be cheating. But we're talking about this, that, and the other thing, and I don't remember how it even came up. I don't even remember. But I brought up the fact that the first time your mom and I went to the Capitol Records Tower together was, 1982, I think it was?
Possibly.
About 81, 82, something like that. And we went to a restaurant, and your mom ordered a lobster, and she didn't realize she had ordered a 10-pound lobster. Right?
I don't know if it was 10
It was 10 pounds.
It was
indeed.
A monster, though.
Yeah, Tom paid the bill. It was 10 pounds.
It was 10 pounds. I did not know this, but we had listeners start calling in. What is the biggest lobster ever caught? Do you know this? Because I couldn't believe it.
No, I have no idea. I don't think of them as being that gigantic.
I don't
even well,
do any guys.
Lobsters are technically immortal. They will just continue to grow and grow until something kills them. So theoretically, there could be lobsters out there that are 1,000 years old, and they would be very, very large at that point. So
the largest lobster ever trapped or caught or whatever they do was 44 and a half pounds.
Yeah.
44 and a half pounds.
I was like, that had to be the size of this room.
It's a big lobster. Yeah, there's a guy holding it.
No wonder. Yeah, I mean, that's a sea monster. That's a sea monster right there.
Mm-hmm. Andy, is there any way you could post that quickly on the site just so we could see? I mean, that's unbelievable. 44 and a half pounds for a lot. I mean, the hands, I guess, were like that big, or not hands, claws.
Big, meaty claws.
Unbelievable.
I wonder if it tastes terrible when they get older.
It probably would be older.
It sounds unpleasant.
Maybe. I don't know. I've heard that before. It cooked right, they can taste pretty good. It's lobster, really. It's lobster. You know, they used to have that shot in Vegas, so the one restaurant, and it was one of the ones downtown, where the guy was holding this giant lobster. It was a 15, 20-pound lobster. He was holding it.
Oh, there you go.
It's a big old lobster.
And how big is that, Andy?
I think this is the 44-pound one.
Well,
maybe.
All of those are big lobsters.
Those are all very big lobsters.
God, they're gigantic.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. That's all I have to say. No question about it.
They never come on shore. They live under the water all the time.
I think that's right. They don't come on shore, do they?
Like a crab will sometimes come on shore and walk around, some of them. I don't know about lobsters.
I have no idea.
I think lobsters stay in the water. I don't think they can breathe on land, can they?
How can crabs do both? That's so weird.
Crabs.
Air. Lobsters can breathe air, but they have to be kept moist.
Oh, okay. Take a little journey on the beach.
Yeah, they can take a jaunt.
A little jaunt on the beach and we're good to go. Other stuff in the news this morning. What is the deal going on with United Healthcare?
I don't know.
Somebody said that they were, what's that called again, when they steal your information?
They were hacked?
Yeah, they were hacked to the point. I mean, Andy, could you look that up quickly? United Healthcare has got, it's a huge amount of money involved, a lot of information involved. I guess everybody's information was exposed by some, I don't know.
You think these multi-billion dollar nonprofit companies could, you know, keep their information safe.
Did you find that story, Andy?
There's a lot of different people saying different things.
Oh, really?
Yes. CBS, the most recent one. Let's see. Here's one from Reuters.
Data breach.
There you go.
They seem to be pretty different. I mean, pretty decent.
Most of the time.
They don't have a dollar figure on here.
They don't.
No.
But I guess it was a huge hack.
No, CBS says it cost them $872 million.
Oh.
Yeah, that's not even a half day's profits
that's
for them.
That's true.
So.
That's probably true, anything. Yes. But oh, I guess it was a massive hack and a lot of information got out that should have never gotten out. Is that the case, you think, Andy?
I think it was ransomware. So,
oh, it was. Okay.
So some moron at United Health downloaded ransomware, infected their whole system. And basically how ransomware works is they lock your data away, and if you don't pay them, they'll just delete it. So United Health had to pay these ransomware hackers in order to get their data restored, because otherwise it would have all been deleted, and that would have cost...
And they didn't
would have destroyed their business.
Yeah, they didn't have backups? That's the whole point.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like daily backups. How hard is it?
Daily, hourly. Yeah. Some of these places do hourly or every 15 minutes. Sure. You're dumping it into something else. You're dumping it into a system that's not connected.
Yep. That's what you
have to
do.
I guess this happens way more than you'd even think.
Ransomware is extremely common.
Yep, it's very common.
Well, the problem is these companies have 800 billion employees, and they don't do a very good job of vetting them because you're not allowed to vet people anymore. And all it takes is one employee to download a virus on your network, and the whole thing is wrecked.
Or
get paid to do it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. At this point in time, you may somebody, hey, why don't you go get employed at United Healthcare? Why don't you work there for like a month or so, and we're going to give you something here to plug into your one of the computers, and then you get $1 million, mm-hmm. and then you can walk away, go to the next company.
Well, my question is, okay, so I'm a hacker. I've hacked some giant corporation. They've given me a few million dollars to not do what I say I'm going to do. Okay, so then next week, after I've settled with them and I've gotten the money, why I do it again? Why can't I just keep doing this forever?
They can. That's the point. Or they'll have 20 or 30, lines in the water, so to speak, fishing.
Because it doesn't seem like anybody ever goes to jail for this stuff. Rarely does anybody get caught.
Well, the thing is, so in this case, the ransomware hackers were from Russia. They infect the United Healthcare system, they do the ransomware thing, they get their money, and they clear the data, and then they disappear to an island somewhere. You know, it is what it is. United Healthcare can eat the cost. A major crime was committed, but not enough for the big guns to really care.
Oh, international.
Really?
If they keep on doing it, then now they are a very obvious threat, and here comes the CIA, and their families are dead, and they're in a gulag somewhere.
Jesus.
So that's why they stick to their word, because if they don't, now they're a global ring of cyber terrorists, and everyone on Earth is going to come after them.
Oh.
It is true.
Yeah. I guess that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I thought nobody cared. If it was a small amount of money, $10 million to United Healthcare. Yeah. Like
no,
I said, that's...
$900 million.
That's
$900 million.
Well, I know. But I mean, no, as a... The hacker got $900 million?
Yeah. They had to pay, think. Yep.
That's
what they said. That's
worth... Well, I want a billion.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's like I said, it's a massive crime, and if they ever get caught, they're going to be in jail for a very, very long time. But it's not enough for black vans to come after them. But if they keep on doing it, then people are going to come after them, because obviously they're just going to keep doing it until someone stops them. Let's see, United Health Group had $371 billion in revenue last year.
Holy God.
So this is nothing.
Yeah, a decent amount of revenue, I would say. Operating income of $32.3 billion.
Yeah.
So $900 million out of $32.3 billion. How much is that? That is...
3%.
2.7% of their operating income.
Unbelievable.
So, I mean, it's like the average person getting scammed for what? Like $5,000 or something? I'm probably doing the math really horribly, but it's something like that, you know?
Wow.
Something in the range of you're going to miss it and it sucks, but you can move on. Or is there someone...
There you go.
Or as if, they then did it over and over, now it's like, okay, I'm going to have to come after you because you're not going to stop.
Yeah. I have a confession to make. I'm liking this Kennedy candidate.
RFK?
Oh, RFK.
Yep. Yeah.
Razor
friend
Paul.
He's very, very worried about the healthcare in America.
Right.
We're spending so much money on autism, and why are all these kids becoming autistic?
Mm-hmm.
And he's very interested in closing the border.
Well, that'd be a good move.
And healthcare is one of the biggest back-breaking costs of an average American.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it would be really nice if he just if he got in and he just did those two things, America could change for the better.
Okay. I'll show you the, sure could. Chance, of, so I'll which show the chance of that happening.
Yeah. Which of the old men is he going to replace?
Yeah. Well, he's a sprightly 70.
Just a young buck compared to the
other
candidates.
That's young compared to, Biden.
Well, but I mean, it's like, what can a president do? I mean, the healthcare industry is woven into every aspect of American life.
They could stop... They could stop lobbyists from donating money from Big Pharma.
Nope.
They could make that a law. You could. Yes, you could.
It's a Supreme Court decision. You're not allowed to mess with it. You'd have to bring it before the Supreme Court, and they would have to reverse an earlier decision, which they very rarely do.
Got some bad news for you, too, Catherine, that both sides of his family, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s family, both sides say none of them are going to vote for him. They're all going to vote for Biden.
Yep.
Well, that's because they're
propagandists.
They're
steeped in the back room.
Yes, they sure are.
They are.
That's what
it
is.
Makes me like him even more.
Why are we getting these old guys? I just... No vibrancy to anybody.
Well, the problem is, look at all the very young candidates and look at all the young senators and Congress people and everything. They're insane. They're idealistic zealots.
Yeah.
So it's we need someone who's like right in the middle of Gen X, but they're apathetic because they're Gen X. So we're just going to have to wait for like 100 years or so. And then we'll have a good candidate.
Is that text you're sending so important that you missed your turn? Is that text you're sending so important that you ran the red light? Is that text you're sending so important you didn't see the ball coming onto the road or the child that followed? Hi, I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. When you take your eyes off the road for even 4 seconds, your vehicle travels 100 yards. That's the entire length of a football field. If you absolutely have to text, you need to pull off the road somewhere safe and do it from there. Texting and driving is against the law and can cause serious injury or even death to you and others. Now that is important. We hope you're never injured in a collision, but if you are, please contact us.
Find Bradshaw & Bryant, personal injury attorneys at minnesotapersonalinjury.com.
Going farther with Mike Bryant on your side, seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw & Bryant.
Tom here. For years, you've heard me talk about my friends at North American Banking Company. They have great online and mobile banking options, plus friendly employees who are always ready to help. And with their location in Maple Grove now open, it's even more convenient for me and my family. Go visit my friends at any one of their 6 Twin Cities locations or go online to nabankco.com to learn more. Why not bank with my banker? North American Banking Company, a better banking experience, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. You all have helped build MyPillow into the incredible company it is today and have trusted in Mike Lindell to give you a great night's sleep. Mike's latest incredible deal is on the Giza Dream Sheets, which you've heard me rave about before, that's for sure. These sheets are made from the world's best cotton, Giza. They are ultra soft and breathable, yet extremely durable. Right now, the Giza Dream Sheets at its lowest price ever. These sheets are 60% off, coming in as low as $39.99 with promo code TOM.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Again, you see the biggest news out of New York City this morning. I don't know how many. Can anybody tell me in the past week how many people have been massacred in the streets of New York City? How many businesses have been broken into? How much horrible action is going on in New York City? Do you hear the big news release out of New York City this morning?
Nope.
You know what? They're coming hard for this one too. New York City's biggest news story of the day came out over the wires this morning. They're going to ban single-wrapped fake cheese slices.
Oh.
Single-wrapped? Who's buying cheese slices singly?
Like Kraft singles.
Oh, like this. Okay, yeah.
Yep.
Which do make a good grilled cheese sandwich.
I was thinking like off the shelf, you just buy one slice.
One slice of cheese.
What, do you buy a Lucy?
Yeah, exactly.
Buy a Lucy.
Cheese Lucy.
It does melt beautifully on
like,
a hamburger.
It doesn't seem like a thing that exists.
But it's not food. I don't think
it's say Kraft singles. I don't think.
I mean, it's food, but it's just not cheese.
It's food-like product.
Sure, it's made out of petroleum and something.
Oh, absolutely. No.
Petroleum and ground-up plastic.
But you can, your body can digest it. Therefore, it is food.
Yeah. Well, okay. That doesn't.
So they're gonna ban that one, and because those wrappers are just a horror
plastic.
To the.
Yep,
it's plastic.
Horror.
Well, I mean, it is like it. Why do they have to be wrapped singly? That's insane.
It sticks to each other.
It's such a
sticky
burden
cheese.
To peel it off
my,
the stack.
Yep.
Well, like my the cheese that I buy, it's like sprawl.
Yeah, and they have papery dealies.
And then there's paper.
Yep. And so I buy my cheese. There's paper in between them.
It.
Paper biodegrades. It's cheap. You know, why not?
Yeah.
There you
because
go.
Because it's not real food, and if it touches anything else, it will probably...
That's true. It'll probably meld into like...
Your Kraft single ingredients.
It'll melt anything it touches
the
other
first
than plastic. Because it is plastic.
The first ingredient is cheddar cheese.
No, there you go.
Cheddar cheese, skim milk, milk fat, milk protein concentrate.
Milk.
Whey, calcium phosphate, sodium phosphate, contains less than 2% of modified food starch, salt, lactic acid, oleoresin, paprika.
Mm. Resin?
We got a resin. There's your petroleum product.
Natamycin,
a natural mold inhibitor.
Every cheese has natamycin in it.
Enzymes, cheese culture. And annatto.
Honestly, not even close to
there's
as bad
really
as I was
not
expecting.
As bad.
Yeah,
I feel like they've changed
it.
I feel like it was different when we were kids.
It probably was.
I feel like there was some sort of plastic.
Melted down traffic cones.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the fact
I think it's a lot better than it was.
Springy.
It's weird. Yeah, it's not cheese. It doesn't feel like cheese.
No.
Andy's insinuating that the cheese comes out of the same factory as traffic cones.
Yeah.
It's a similar feel.
It's a differently shaped mold, that's all.
I can see that.
It's like in The Simpsons when they were making the Krusty Rib Witches. They'd take a cow and throw it into a foundry and melt it down.
Yep.
And
then
I assume happens.
They pour the resulting liquid into a rib witch shaped mold, and there you go. That's how you get the rib witch.
That's exactly what I think the whatever from McDonald's or whatever.
Yeah, the McRib.
The McRib.
I've never had it. Everyone loves it. I don't think I could.
I've never had it either.
You used to be obsessed with it, Dad. Are you kidding?
Yes.
That was a long time ago.
Yes.
I think I was the Arby one, not McDonald's.
No, you were obsessed with the McRib.
Yes.
Because
it
would come
McDonald's.
And go.
I mean, the Arby's one.
No. It was the McRib, which Arby's wouldn't have a McRib.
Because they were only seasonal or something.
Yes.
They only had them for a short period
of
time.
Oh, okay.
Now you loved
them. So they were
them.
Very special.
The barbecue's
and I remember,
on at McDonald's.
I remember you would eat them, and I'd be like, it's meat pressed into rib shape.
Yeah. It's a cow that they put in a blender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And then they just poured it into a...
Just like The Simpsons.
Just like on The Simpsons, it's letter-graded meat.
Letter-graded.
Not any particular letter, just
I'm not going to tell you which letter.
You know,
Mike Rowe did a segment in a rendering plant.
Ugh.
And they showed him going out to the farms and picking up animals that were to die because you can't process them. So they pick them up, put them in the back of the truck, and some of them were all bloated. I can't imagine the odor. They take them to the rendering plant, and they would first peel the hide off.
Yep.
Peel the hide off, drop it down into the basement with a bunch of salt and everything to keep it from molding. Then they'd take this carcass and put it into a blender.
Yep.
And they would grind that whole thing up, the whole cow into the blender.
At least they're using everything.
They are.
Oh, yeah. A rendering plant's the best place in the world because you get so many good things out of it.
I don't know that we would say that.
And it smells great.
I think that's
much better than the Hawaiian beach.
Well, that's you know, all the bone meal goes into fertilizer.
Yep.
Hides go into your shoes.
Yep.
All the meat is meat protein and meat protein that's skimmed off and goes into dog food, and then all the tallow, all the oil that's skimmed off and goes on dog food.
Yeah, they literally use every
or
last
soap
molecule.
Or a thousand things. Oh, there's nothing that leaves there that's there's no waste that comes out of that plant.
How many cows would you guess are slaughtered per year in the United States?
I don't even
how many
know.
Well, they slaughter in a Cargill in a Cargill processing plant. They do 1,000 per hour.
1,000 per
They do 1,000 cows, 20,000 pigs, and is it 100,000 or 200,000 chickens?
200,000 chickens.
Chickens every 100,000 or 50,000, maybe 50,000. They go through there. I mean, oh, the mess that's coming out of that.
Yeah.
You know, because they harvest all the blood. All that blood is harvested.
They use
everything blood that goes meal. In the one door comes out the other door as a product.
Yeah.
So worldwide, 70 billion chickens are killed each year.
70 billion?
Don't use the word killed. And
culled?
Processed.
Processed, yes.
Processed, yeah, there you go.
They're mollified.
Murdered.
Yeah. How about the murder of cows? How many of that?
Let's see. Cows slaughtered per year.
It's less than chickens by far.
It's less than chickens by far. In the U.S., it's 36 million.
36 million a year?
Yep.
It doesn't seem like there's that many farms.
I know. It's like, how can there be that many cows? But there are, apparently.
You've never, that you all you have to do is leave Minneapolis and drive west.
Oh, we drive by cow farms all the time, but it's like, it's still,
know, it
36
like
million.
Thousands of them.
36
yeah.
million is a lot
if
of cows.
If you drive west through the plains, there is land everywhere,
yep.
not arable, and they just have cattle grazing on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we live by tons of them. We live by a lot of different cow farms, a few horse ranches. I haven't seen any pigs.
Farms.
Yeah, I think it's mostly dairy out where we. But the
pigs
males
aren't running
obviously.
Around in a field. They're usually in a barn.
Yeah, that's true. They don't really roam.
The males.
They don't.
The males are all food. Yeah. The females are milk and then food.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Fun life for a cow.
Indeed, it's true.
Well, it's better than being a wild animal. Believe it or not.
Oh, I see Tim Lammers is checking in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Timmy!
How many cows?
I grew up with cows.
Yeah, how many cows have you slaughtered, Tim?
Nah, I haven't slaughtered any.
No slaughtering?
Did you hear that thud about 2 minutes ago when Ralph was saying that 1,000 cows a day, an hour?
An hour.
It's like, boom.
Yeah.
It is.
Fuck, you didn't hear that because it is stunning to me. And then how 70 some billion chickens?
Oh, they just go. And that's 240 billion wings.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a
lot
of
right.
chicken wings. That's a lot.
140 billion.
So that's like three four dinners for me.
we did have beef steer though on the farm. We didn't milk cows, but we had steer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, wow.
Did you have veal?
No.
I can't do veal anymore. It's too sad.
And you know what? Yeah. I had veal a few times when I started dating my wife, and she gave me the guilt trip about baby cows.
Yep.
And it's like, okay, I guess I'm done with that now.
Oh, it's baby cows as veal?
Yeah, that are kept in a cage and unable to move, so they remain tender.
It's terrible.
Yeah, they don't want them to muscle up.
No, they don't.
It's disgusting. Yeah, to be tender.
Poor cows.
Poor cows.
Yeah, well, if you eat meat, it's all violent and sad and blah, blah, blah.
None for me.
Your uncle Larry had some vealers.
Yeah.
I remember he brought me out because I was like, vealers, woo. And he brought me out to introduce me to a small cow. And he said, look. They had like this little igloo that the calf could go in and out of, mm-hmm. and he said it's away from the flies.
Yeah,
it's climate
true.
Controlled. It's actually got a pretty nice life. I'm like, okay, Larry.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, think about the average life of a wild animal.
Okay,
it's like 80% of them are probably dead before they reach adulthood, anyway. Because, you know, some coyote comes after you, you know, you get eaten alive. That's not a good way to go.
That is true. And I have a thicket of woods by me out here in the hinterlands. And you hear those little bastards at night. And on occasion in the morning, you look out and you'll see that few.
You can hear them in the city now.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, it's frightening. And you know, the funny thing is we have a Great Pyrenees who... You know, are generally bred to protect livestock or sheep or whatever from coyotes. And, you know, she's an inside dog. But I think that if her instinct kicked in, she probably would kick some coyote ass. but you know, it's just crazy. So I think we have our safeguard in case they get close to the house. We'll just like winter out and she'll kick some ass. Mm-hmm.
I just saw a posting on social media. There were three Labradors, and they were talking about the Labrador, how they were bred with triple coats to withstand jumping into icy cold waters to get fish.
Oh, yeah.
And these, there's a photo of three of them huddled next to the door because it was drizzling.
Oh, God.
Well, bears have two coats. They have two coats, and it's amazing to me how they stay cool in the summer, but somehow they do.
Winter, are you here?
Uh-oh. Poppy.
I've shown her before, but she's a big dog. Yeah, and she's a female, and she's like almost 80. The males get to be about 125.
That's too much dog.
Oh, my God.
They're far too much dog.
That's a lot of dog.
A lot of dog. Dirt.
I wish she'd come in and appear on camera. She's kind of shy.
I have my 40. I just want to tell people this because this blew my mind. 46 years ago today, the Blues Brothers made their first official debut on SNL.
Wow. 46 years ago.
Soul Man became a top 40 hit, and their album Briefcase Full of Blues went straight to number one and went double platinum in 1978. That's so long ago. I couldn't believe it.
Tom, you want to sing Soul Man with me? Coming to you.
Down the dusty road.
It's a great song.
It is a great song.
I got a truckload.
And that was a great act they did on SNL. Man, when I saw that, they both had great talent. Dancing, it was great.
Dan Aykroyd, yeah.
Didn't Jim take over for John when John passed?
Yep.
He tried to.
He
did a pretty good job.
Sadly.
There's a good show on Fox Nation, I think it is now. Dan Aykroyd and Jim Belushi are on it. It's called Six Glasses.
That Changed the World.
Six Glasses That Changed the World. Yeah, tea.
It's a book. It was a book. Yeah. And it's all about coffee, tea, spirits, wine.
Beer,
and what are we forgetting?
Milk was one. No, it wasn't milk.
Six glasses that changed, etc.
That changed the world.
Water,
wine. Beer, wine, whiskey, coffee, tea, and
whiskey.
Cola.
Oh, cola. Right.
That's pretty interesting. Hey, I heard you talking about an interesting series called Under the Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Really looking good.
Wow. Wow.
It's a true story, right?
Yeah.
It's a true story.
Based on like a true story.
Well, it's a gut punch. And, the interesting thing is the king's granddaughter, Riley Keough, plays the author, the real-life author of the book, who is unfortunately no longer with us. She died of lung cancer at age 54. Yeah.
Ooh.
You're kidding.
And it was a best-selling book. Yeah. It's sad because everywhere you read, it's like, the late, whatever the name of the character that Riley plays, it's her. And that did happen. And
she is smoking all the time.
Who knows? I mean, sometimes, Dana Reeves, Christopher Reeves' wife, died of lung cancer, and she never smoked. So,
That's true. God, it's
crazy. But, it's such of an interesting... I don't know if it's the intro to every episode because there's only two episodes so far, but they talk about we're supposed to be protecting these young teens. Mm-hmm. We're not supposed to be protect their. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we shouldn't be protected from them.
Right. Well,
something to that effect about how freaking mean.
Oh,
these kids, these
terrible,
teens.
Horrible.
And you got to believe that's like that in high schools all over the country, right?
Oh, yeah.
Some more than others.
No question about it. It's a damn good series. There's so much good stuff on streaming now, you can't possibly keep up with it. Television's the best it's ever been. I know I say that a lot, but it is true.
Now, Ralph, I have to ask you about Fallout, and I got like half of a message from Messenger from you about Blind Al and Leslie Uggams. And,
yes, she's in Fallout as well.
Yep, she's in Fallout.
And I want to know what you think of Fallout. What do you think?
Well, I think it's true to the game, and it is. Yeah, true. It's absolutely true to the game. And you watch it, and if you play the game, the detail that they've put into this is unbelievable. yeah, I mean, so many things that they just walk past that you see. Hey, I know what that is, mm-hmm. laying on the ground or in this garbage dump. Or I know this, and it's, I think, really well done. The story, I think, is as good as with a Fallout story. You know, it's like a Godzilla movie. What do you expect? You know, but it's, yes. I think, intriguing enough. I've enjoyed it. I haven't gotten through it yet. I've gotten 2.5 episodes. I did like the one. Some people might say it's a little violent. A little violent, a little graphic.
I've heard it's very violent.
Okay, well, some people might say it's very violent.
Exploding.
It's a little. It's
a claw that grabs a guy by the head and.
And crushes it. Yeah, pulls. Yeah, cracks the top of his head off. You know, but that happens. Sometimes that happens in those games, those video games.
It does.
But the wonderful part about it is that, again, I mean, my kids played it and. Yeah. Like, okay, let me just get a little bit into this before, because I did interviews for it and
sure.
Obviously reviewed it and stuff. So I had to get a feel of it. But really, coming in blind to this whole world, you don't have to play the games to enjoy this show.
No.
That's the great part about it. That's the key, because a lot of video game players want it to be so faithful to it that a lot of times in that translation, sure, maybe you're pleasing that sect of the audience. But there are so many others that are like, huh? You know, so it's really important to have the way that they merge both of these together.
And you have to have a good story. I mean, every movie has to have a good story. Every series has to have a good story. I mean, that's the main thing. And I think maybe they're getting that now with some of these, like the Halo series. They have to have a good story that might be separate or a different story from the video game. And you can't just try to do one of the video game stories, because I think they're just pithy. There's nothing there. Right. It's very vapid. So, yeah, I think that's what they're doing, and they're figuring that out. So you're going to see some of these will translate into series or into movies and things like that. Just like Mario Brothers. Same thing. I mean, they had a good story, a compelling story to that, and that's what you need to have.
Right. It's like, what's the story of a Mario game? You run to the right and then you jump over Bowser. Not exactly compelling stuff.
Well, that's pretty.
Why don't you write that down? That sounds great.
When you're 5 or 6, it's pretty compelling.
It's pretty. Yeah, there's Bowser. He's a big deal, but yeah, it's for older kids. You need more than that.
Yeah, and video games have to be that way. I played this. You know, Bethesda released this one game, Starfield.
Yep.
And that story was meh. There's nothing to it. So the game really wasn't that much fun.
Yeah, with a video game, the story's there to make you feel like you're not wasting your time just clicking buttons.
Well put.
It's like, you have to feel like these characters. I mean, but TV is the same way. I mean, ultimately, you're watching people play make-believe in front of a camera. You need to feel like they're real, so you care, so you keep watching. And video games are the same way. It's like, if video games were just a bunch of abstract shapes bouncing around the screen, you'd be like, this is the dumbest thing in the world, but... Give them personalities and character, and now all of a sudden you care.
Yeah.
I've got to pick up on that make-believe comment you made, Andy. But first, because I got some funny stories about when I say make-believe online, where people get really pissed at you.
Mm. When you go to a restaurant, you expect the chef to be an expert. You expect your auto mechanic to be an expert when it comes to fixing your car. You judge them both by the results of their work. Josh Arnold is an expert in investments and planning your financial future. Josh Arnold is my expert, and he should be yours too. I talk to Josh every week, and he understands the market and the economy, and he knows how to plan for your retirement. Don't put it off another day. The man with your plan is Josh Arnold. Call Josh now for a no-obligation 48-minute evaluation. You've got nothing to lose, and you'll have an expert planning and managing your financial future. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. That's 952-925-5608. Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC Security Investment Advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice. Tom Bernard is a paid endorser.
This is the reason, Tommy and Catherine, why you should see Fallout. And Ralph, I think you would agree. And Andy, I don't know how much you've watched of it so far.
I haven't watched any of Fallout.
Oh, okay. Walton Goggins as not only the ghoul, but his character before the nuclear blast, Cooper Howard. This guy shows so much dimension in this show. But, I mean, the Ghoul, people are going nuts over Walton Goggins' performance. He's constantly trending on Twitter. It's all positive stuff. People are, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, where'd this guy come from? It's like, we've known all along, man. I mean, he's been around for a long time, and it's great that he's finally being discovered by a new generation because the guy is one of the best. He just is. I don't know if you feel that way, Ralph, after seeing Paul.
Yeah, his character is really well done. And in fact, I think all the people who are in this are really good, but they're seasoned actors to a certain extent, and they're doing a great job. They're just doing their craft.
Yeah. Well, so the make-believe thing, I know I've mentioned this before, but it's always worth repeating. There was a story about Channing Tatum. He just hated G.I. Joe. He just hated, you know, and he said, you know, so I posted the story and I said, yeah, I know it's a real grind for Channing to play make-believe.
Yeah.
People got so freaking pissed off at me.
Really?
So it's like to poke the bear once in a while when you point out that some actors are just playing make-believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like people are going to lay down on a highway for some. Yeah, you know, you wonder. It's like, come on, man. Why are you getting so upset about this? Well, you don't know how hard he works. And da, da, da. Yeah, well, yeah, sure. But he's still make-believe.
I know how hard they don't work. You know, I had two kids in the industry, and I watched them how hard they didn't work. And that is a pretty straightforward thing. Now, that they may be put in some weather or uncomfortable situation, but it's not that hard.
Well, it's like
they go to their trailer, you know?
Well, it's like even if he was working 80 hours a week, you know, in the grueling cold or whatever, the guy's still walking home with, what, $20 million every time he does it? So it's kind of hard to feel sorry, you know.
No, they're not.
There's people out there who work much harder for much, much, much less, and no one gives a crap about them.
I walk past laborers who are down in a trench, when it's like 32 degrees and raining. Mm-hmm. You know, that's hard work. That's hard work, and that's their job, and they don't get paid much.
Yeah, they're making probably $50,000 a year if they're lucky. So it's hard to feel sorry for.
As a dopey-ass movie guy, I say that myself. I was at an interview junket a long, long time ago, and there's a dude that I met there, and he's just kind of pacing back and forth. And I said, well, kind of gets tiring, doesn't he? He goes, better than standing in front of a drill press.
Yep.
You know?
That's true. Yeah.
It's true. Well,
and Tom,
it's true. This is a wimpy-ass job compared to what a lot of people do.
And Tom can speak to this. He was an iron worker. Man,
That's hard work.
That is hard work, brutal work, dangerous work. You know, and they get compensated, but not like actors.
No.
Yep. Right. No, it wasn't quite as much. I think I was making maybe about $10 an hour or so. Yeah, so it was more than that probably.
Tom,
but
is Walter Goggins' brother, baby Billy, in The Righteous Gemstones?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's Walton Goggins.
Ah.
He's phenomenal.
Oh, my God.
He's phenomenal.
Has anybody else between Tom and Catherine seen the Righteous Gemstones?
Oh, my God. It is
phenomenal.
Hilarious.
Phenomenal.
It's a crazy show. It's so crazy. Who wrote that? Who came up with
Danny McBride.
I mean.
Oh, not a shock.
The stuff that comes out of some of their mouths, I'm just like, what?
Righteous Gemstones is about a family that starts their own church.
It's a mega church.
It's a mega church.
Mega.
They're going to save everyone's soul and everyone's going to heaven. I don't think anybody in the Gemstone family is going to go to heaven the way they act, but.
No.
No, no, no.
It's God. Really, really funny, though, in my opinion.
It is. It's hilarious. A promo that I'm going to send to put it in the chat window and you can watch it whenever. It's a commercial for Baby Billy's health elixir.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yes.
One of the funniest damn things ever. God, is it funny. So
Baby Billy.
Well, what's his new game? Baby Billy's
Bunker. Bible Bunker.
Bible Bunker.
It's a great show.
It's so damn funny. I know. I almost hate to tell people that I watch it because it's like so... It's like sick in a way.
In a way, yes.
But it's funny sick.
Very well cast by the cast. It is amazingly good.
John Goodman.
Yeah, John Goodman.
Yeah, he's the head of the church.
Adam Devine.
Mm-hmm.
He's the youngest one. Then there's the sister.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know who she is. I don't remember seeing her in anything, but she's so good at it.
Oh, my God.
And then the oldest son, whatever his name is.
Yeah, and that's Danny McBride.
He is so fantastic at that role.
Oh, funny show.
With his Elvis hair and that accent. And the
who were you saying you didn't know what she was in? I can find out.
Yeah. Judy? What's her name? Janie in it?
Judy.
In the show? What? Judy.
Judy.
That would be Edie Patterson. She was in Knives Out, a bunch of things I've never seen.
Oh, okay.
A bunch of things you've never seen.
I like Knives Out.
Yeah, it was fine.
I heard it was okay. I heard Glass Onion was not great.
I never saw it.
Sometimes when they are arguing and hurling insults at each other, I don't understand how they can make it through a scene. I don't even understand the stuff that they say to each other. I'm just like, I couldn't make it through that scene.
But I think Baby Billy Freeman, he steals the show.
He does.
And he's really just a supporting character in this. Mm-hmm. You know, the third season, a lot of it has to do with this Bible bonkers show because Billy is an attention whore.
Yeah,
right.
And he just wants to get back in front of the TV as much as he can.
Yep.
So he comes up with this concept where it's basically like Family Feud, but it's Bible stuff questions.
Yeah.
And he calls it Baby Billy's Bible Bonkers. Oh, my God.
Baby Buggy Bunkers Bumpers.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's funny.
I'm telling you again, TV is the best it's ever been. Oh, I mean, there's some great shows in the past. That's not what I'm saying. But overall, television is phenomenal.
Yeah, the volume, that volume of quality TV. I agree, Tom. It is just unbelievable at this point.
Some of it's very funny. Some of it's very sad. Some of it's frightening. I mean, they got everything. Whatever you want, whatever you're looking for, it's there. I guarantee it.
Well, you want to see a screwed up series that based on a true story. It's called Baby Reindeer on Netflix.
Oh, I don't know that one.
All the talk online because it is a stalker story like you will not believe. And the guy, actually, he's from Scotland. He adapted it as a one-man show first, and then they made it into this seven-part limited series for Netflix. It's tough to watch, man. There's some really disturbing stuff. But at the heart of it is he's a struggling comedian working in a bar, pays attention to this woman who, you know, just doesn't get the attention or whatever. And all of a sudden it's like she's obsessed with him. And just a quick little spoiler to give you an idea of how much she harassed this guy over a 3-year period. Sent him 41,000 emails.
Oh my God.
In 3 years?
Oh. She just had to be firing off emails every 10 minutes.
Well, yeah, let's see. That's.
It's about 1,000 days, a little more
than 1,100 days. How many emails did you say?
41.
About 41,000. I've read 41. I've read 43. I mean, who's counting?
So that'd be 37 emails a day. So, yeah, about one every hour and a half.
Oh, God.
All day, every day.
Well, and during waking hours, so she probably did one every...
Yeah, it's probably more like two every hour during waking
hours. Half hour.
Yeah.
Even crazy people have to sleep.
Yes, they do.
But the weird thing about it is, this isn't the only screwed up thing happening in his life. I can't go into it, but it is just so insane, and I'm sure by the time the numbers come out, it will be the number one viewed show globally.
Oh,
and then, really?
Last week it entered the chart at like number 5, I think. But yeah, it is really huge. And again, just showing you. And the thing about Netflix is it's great. Who the hell ever heard of any of these people prior to watching this show? There's so much talent overseas and in these, you know, BBC produced or whatever shows that. That's the great part about Netflix is that they really have made us an international audience all of a sudden. It's not just the sitcoms and all that. Remember back in the old days with broadcast television, you know, where we waited till fall till the new season came out. We got
a
few dozen shows and about 3/4 of them were canceled by the third week.
Yep.
You know? It's a totally different landscape now. And again, they introduce you to things that you never would have seen otherwise, which I think is great. That's the great part about Netflix.
We watched a movie called The Actor.
Yeah.
And it's a Wisconsin guy.
Richard, really? Richard Blake.
Hmm.
His name is Richard Blake. It's called The Actor. It's really pretty good.
He said that he was going to write a movie and star in it when he was in, like, I don't know, college or high school or something. And sure enough, he did.
He did it.
Yeah.
Looks like Glenn Campbell's son. He looks just like Glenn Campbell.
He kind of does. A little bit like another movie star. We decided.
Yeah, we did, too.
I can't remember who. But, oh, Robert Redford. He looks a little bit like Robert Redford,
a little bit,
too.
Yeah.
And it's too long, but it is funny.
It is long.
Where's it airing?
It was on Vudu.
Oh, okay.
I think it's out in some theaters.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a movie.
It's a movie.
It's a movie, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
We enjoyed it. We thought it was very good.
Yeah, we watched the trailer. And after reading the little snippet about it, we watched the trailer and we said, well, the trailer looks better than the description. It doesn't look like it sucks as badly as the description says. So then we watched it and we were pleasantly surprised. I mean, it's not a fantastic movie, but it's a good movie.
Well, he wrote it, produced it, stars in it. He did everything in this movie.
Then he's really into the band that he had on the soundtrack all the time. I can't remember who it was, but he really loves that band.
He does,
90s
yeah.
rock band.
Collective Soul.
Yeah.
Collective Soul, that's exactly right.
You know, Tim, to your comment about there's so much talent worldwide and even in L.A., Quinn Redeker wrote the Russian roulette scene in Deer Hunter.
Mm.
Oh,
and he became sort of an acquaintance of ours when we were in L.A., and he would write all the time. He would write all interesting kind of things, and every once in a while he would you know, give us a plot of something he's writing. So he would write screenplays all the time, and Warner Brothers would buy him because he had won an Academy Award. They would buy him, and I said, "What happens to him?" He goes, "Oh, they just take him and put him on the shelf."
Really?
So they have a library of this stuff. And this stuff is being turned out, and there are actors in the same way. There are actors that have the same skill set or better skill set than all of, what are they called now, all of the people are there, the kids of everybody, the
Nepo babies?
Nepo babies.
All the Nepo. There's talent there that's unbelievable, the depth of talent all over the world in writing, in acting, and things like that. But absolutely right, they're just piles of it everywhere, and it's great to see people getting work because they should.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. Did just curious, did this guy talk about working with Michael Cimino at all, who directed the Deer Hunter?
No.
Very, very well, he's no longer with us, but you know, Michael Cimino won the Best Director Oscar and Best Picture for that Deer Hunter, but became famous for filming one of the biggest movie bombs of all time with Heaven's Gate,
yeah, that's right.
I'm sure by this point somebody has that the Heaven's Gate shouldn't even be mentioned in that category anymore because they are such big movie bombs that lose so much money now.
Mm-hmm.
But I know at that time it was like scandalous the amount of money that movie lost. And it's not that terrible of a movie. I mean, it's sad, but Cimino was a different cat. He was a cowboy, I guess you could say. You know, he was a maverick sort of guy.
Yeah.
And but that scene in The Deer Hunter, man, that Russian, one of the most intense sequences. Well, the first and second one, because it ends with the second one, I think, put on film ever.
One of the great casts of all time, too.
Oh, yeah. Walken, oh, yeah. De Niro, John Savage, Streep, John Cazale, who died after the filming of it, or maybe before they were done filming, John Cazale. And
he was
and
also in The Godfather Part 3 or Part 2.
Yeah, well, Fredo.
Fredo,
yes.
Yep.
Yeah. And then there were a couple. The amazing part about that movie was there's a couple guys that were just local guys that they cast in some of those principal roles.
And I say my favorite line from Godfather 2? His line. It was his line. Do you remember the great line?
Something about
I'm smart. It was the greatest.
Fredo. I knew it was
character.
You, Fredo.
I knew it was you, Fredo. I'm smart.
He was also in Dog Day Afternoon with
the was, yeah. Yep.
Great actor. Man, it's an unfortunate end. He was actually, I don't know if they were engaged or him and Streep were together when
I didn't know that.
Cazale died, yeah.
I did not know that. Yeah, he was good.
But that scene, yeah, actually, he has not. You know what? No, he's not in the Russian roulette scenes, but he's in some pretty intense scenes with De Niro.
Yep.
He's a real pain in the ass in a movie, the character, I should say, but so damn good. One of the greatest movies ever. It really is.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. Maybe the best movie.
And it does start out in Western Pennsylvania, doesn't it? As the deer hunt. Yeah.
Yeah, that's where, you know, it begins there. They go to Vietnam. They come back after the war.
Oh, God.
But Walken's character, Nikonar Chevatarevich, remains, Nikki. And then De Niro tries to go save him.
Yep.
With an emphasis on the word tries. Because it's a tragic ending, that one.
Yep.
And then it ends back in Pennsylvania. That's right. It does. It does. That's how well I know this movie, just because it is just such of a brilliant piece of work.
So please tell
your friend, Ralph. God, I mean, one of those movies that just stays with you forever. Yeah. It really does.
No doubt about it.
Did you hear about Alec Baldwin?
What about him?
I guess he was in a coffee shop and some woman kept on telling him that he had to say something about Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
He swatted her phone.
Ouch. Oh, did he?
He's kind of for anybody.
He can overact a little bit.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's going to be interesting with that armorer getting 18 months.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, why are there ever real bullets on a set?
On a
there aren't, or they're not supposed to be.
Why were there? That is negligence. That is definitely negligence.
This is what I read. Whoever had access to these things took these guns out and did target practice or something where they brought real bullets.
Why?
And apparently they left one in a chamber.
Not in a workspace. Sorry.
Well, no one loaded the gun on set. The gun was taken off set, loaded, and then taken back on set without unloading it properly.
Yeah,
well,
which is really stupid.
And what's the first thing you're supposed to do whenever someone gives you a gun?
I would
check
the chamber.
First thing. No, you unload it.
Well, yeah.
And you check it. Mm-hmm. You unload it and you check it. You do the same thing, even if you've watched them do it.
Well, and that's not even enough, because you know what happened to, was it Jet Li's son or something? The Crow. Tim might know what I'm talking about.
Brandon Lee.
Lee. So what happened was they had a prop gun with a blank in it, and there was a suicide scene. So he puts the gun to his head, pulls the trigger, and the blank goes off, and Brandon Lee dies in real life.
Yep.
Because what had happened was there was a squib in the barrel, which is a failed bullet. A bullet got caught in the barrel, and the force of the blank forced that squib out and killed Brandon with it.
Oh my God.
So even if the gun's not loaded, there could still be something in the barrel.
It's not supposed to have anything come out. The barrel is supposed to be plugged.
They use real guns because it's easier. You just put a blank in it, and there you go. Yeah. It looks real because it is real. It sounds real because
it is
real.
You use a real gun, but you weld the thing shut. I mean, those sort of things are just absolute idiocy.
Yeah,
I mean, it's easy.
Yes.
Oh, it's just easier. Well, if you're an armorer, you say, you don't have that. You just don't even have that on set. That's stupid.
And with computers, they can make it look like somebody shot themselves without actually shooting a gun.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to do this.
Absolutely.
Now, I hate correcting people. It seems like I'm a pain in the ass. It was actually John Eric Hexum that did that with the squib on a TV show.
That's what happened to Brandon Lee, too.
Brandon Lee, there was an actor named Michael Massey, and if you look at him, you know him. He fired this gun towards Brandon Lee's character.
Oh.
And that he... Can you imagine living with that for the rest of your freaking life? He's no longer with us. I'm sure whatever stress that came with, that accident, because it truly was an accident.
You're right. I confused two different
things.
But
John Eric Hexum did this. He was kind of like bored on the set, and so he went like this and pulled the trigger, and there was a squib or whatever, or even just a concussion of it.
No.
Fractured his skull, I believe. So, but it's happened.
But the same thing did happen to Brandon. It wasn't a suicide scene, but it was the same thing. It was a bullet caught in the barrel that a blank forced out into him. So
that Michael Massey's character.
You have to know. Guns that are used on set should never have real bullets in them, regardless.
Right.
The guns on set shouldn't use bullets.
No, they shouldn't.
Guns on set can be manufactured or can be set up in a way that if you need the flash from the muzzle, it can be a charge in the muzzle without a squib, without any. You don't use a casing. You don't use any of that sort of stuff. So that it's impossible to be hurt.
Yep.
There's no chance of a squib. There's no chance of any of that. Why it isn't like that, who knows?
And that was 40 years ago, and they're still doing it. They're still using real guns on set and getting people killed because of it.
I put the link to that story about Michael Massey in the chat if you want to look at it.
Oh, perfect. I mean, it would be like if they used real knives on set for a simulated murder scene. There's just no reason to do it. Yep. Use the prop. That way no one dies. And, I mean, it's not like, you know, this isn't something that's killing hundreds of people a year, but it's still, there's no reason for it to happen at all.
No.
All right, any closing words? You got 1 minute.
Closing words for 1 minute.
No closing words.
Watch the series that are available now. A lot of great, great TV.
Alex, did you ever watch the new Bluey?
Bluey.
Which, oh, yeah, I watched it with the kids last night.
Apparently there's a, so in the new Bluey, at the very end of the episode.
Spoiler!
There's like a 30-second scene that takes place in the future, like probably 20, 30 years in the future.
Yeah.
Bluey and Bingo are grown up, and then at the very end, for like maybe 3 seconds,
Bingo's
you see.
Not in it.
Well, she's in the backyard, apparently.
Yeah, you can you'll see.
But yeah, so at the very end, you see for maybe 3 seconds this unidentified grand dog of. Mm-hmm.
Looks like Muffin.
It looks like Muffin, but it's not. So everyone is like theory crafting about: is it Bingo's kid? Is it Bluey's kid? Who's the father?
Yeah.
And it's like this like 3 second scene and everyone's just going nuts over it.
Like Bluey just knocks on the door of her parents' house. She's let in and then hiding behind the door with like a Nerf gun kind of thing is this little dog.
Yeah. And it's like the dog has one floppy ear and there's the boy dog called Mackenzie who has one floppy ear. So it's like that must be the father.
And he and Bluey have kind of a tumultuous friendship.
Days of Our Lives.
Yeah, I know. It's like
crazy how into.
I know. Everybody's like, that's not surprising that people are up in arms about it. Like, I know there are people that are very upset about the 30-minute long episode.
Oh, yeah.
And what happens in that episode.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
I have to give it a whirl.
Yeah.
All right. Have a great day. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Toodaloo.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye-bye.